Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, what's good, Knicks fans? I am your host, your sleep-deprived host. Jocelyn so focused.
Watery eyes, got the pollen on the nose.
Allergic to life.
Yeah, I'm French the Bro host. We'd like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 87.
And this is a weekly podcast where we give you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check us out at our website, KnicksTake.com.
And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
And now the show.
Playoffs.
Yo, yeah. So the playoffs, we are still in the middle of those.
Yeah.
Last time that me and French spoke, actually, before we get into the last time me and French spoke, how are you, my brother?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, man. I had such a terrible week. I got food poisoning on Monday, was throwing my life up. And if you're watching on YouTube, you would see I probably lost 30 pounds since you've been watching, you know what I'm saying? And then getting food poisoning just added to that. I lost an extra 5 pounds. I ain't mad about it. But how's your week been? Actually, forget it. How your week been?
It's been very entertaining. It's been very, very entertaining. A lot of stuff going on in the music scene.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that we've been talking about. Maybe we'll make some music-related comments throughout this episode of the Knicks Take Podcast. We'll see. You'll soon find out. But yeah, other than that, it's just a regular week for me. And as I was about to lead this episode, last time that we left off, going over a Game 3 loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. And we previewed Game 4 and how we expected the game to go. And we'll get into how Game 4 actually went. And we'll also go into any other potential games that happened after Game 4.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, Game 5, because they lost the game. So we'll go into Game 5 and whatever may have happened after Game 5. And yeah. Well, let's just get right into that, because if you have not been following the playoffs, we don't want to spoil it for you. It's been a very entertaining round one, been a very entertaining series between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Some might say the best series of the entire round one of the NBA playoffs.
I mean, that's without say. I'm comparing it to series in previous years, because I already know that this is the best first round series this year, but yeah, let's get straight into it. Let's talk about Game 4.
Game 4, which occurred on Sunday, April 28th at 1 p.m.
Where at?
At the MSG South, the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia.
It's south of New York. I don't even know if I'll go that far. I would say some of the other places like Charlotte and them is MSG South.
I mean, yeah.
This is MSG too.
But I mean, yeah.
Two hours away. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't too bad. A couple train rides, and then the Knicks fans just take over the whole building.
Right.
So that's what I remember most about Game 4 so far. Go ahead, talk to me.
So yeah, we showed out in Philadelphia. We showed out in Game 3. Mm-hmm. And if you thought Game 3 was a fluke, we definitely showed out in Game 4. as New York Knicks fans, definitely filled out and made this, made it known that this was not an away game for the New York Knicks. Mm-mm. Knicks and 76ers went back and forth to start this game. But even though the Sixers didn't pull ahead immediately, the Knicks did eventually start to lose ground to the Sixers. Bojan Bogdanović got some time at the end of the first quarter. And right at the beginning of the second quarter, we lose Bojan Bogdanović as he is injured when he and Nick Batum dive for the basketball. Batum lands on his foot and Bogdanović has to leave the game.
Yeah, they didn't both dive. It was just Batum. He dove and cut his leg off.
He dove and made Bogdanović dive when he landed on his foot. But anyway, so despite all of this, the Sixers take advantage in the first half. Didn't look great for the Knicks. Looked like it might be, you know, we're going to be fighting up an uphill battle. And then the second half, there was a little bit of a turnaround. The momentum shifted. I called this the momentum shift of the game. Joel Embiid gave a forearm shiver as he was setting a pick for a Jalen Brunson. Hit him in the face a little bit. And simultaneously while that was happening, Josh Hart was called for an offensive foul for hitting Kyle Lowry in the face. And I say that this is the momentum shift of the game, not in favor of the Sixers, but for the Knicks, because immediately after that, Jalen Brunson was like, I'm taking that personal. I took that personally, mm-hmm. as Michael Jordan used to say. He saw him talking back and forth with Joel Embiid, asked him, yo, what was that for? What'd you do that for? Joel Embiid, what did I do? I didn't do nothing. But after that, when that happened, the Knicks were down 61-51.
And that was probably like the least of all of Joel's antics. He probably was kind of shocked, like, I ain't even do nothing crazy.
Right.
Like, that's regular for me.
Right. So
which one are you talking about?
After this happened, we saw a Jalen Brunson turnaround scoop shot on Tobias Harris. Very smooth, very sexy. A runner and one on Kyle Lowry. A mid-range jumper over Joel Embiid. As he's moving to the side, Joel Embiid is trying to catch up to him going sideways, and he's never going to win that battle. Mm-hmm. And a sneaky floater to put the Knicks up 95-89 with under a minute remaining in the game. We also saw with Mitchell Robinson, who was not able to make this game after he injured himself in the previous outing. Precious Achiuwa got 20 minutes. And Jalen Brunson just did what he had to do. He showed out. He kept the Knicks ahead.
He was balling.
And the Knicks won. 97-92. They go up 3-1 in the series. Everybody is feeling good. Mm-hmm. What was you about to say about Run Boy?
That shot that he hit over Embiid was like, that was the biggest shot of the game up until that point, I feel like, because it was 1-on-1 against the MVP, mm-hmm. in his building.
Yep.
He was playing pretty good defense, and he still was able to get that shot up over him,
yep.
To go into the fourth quarter. And then Jalen Brunson finished this night with 47 points, 10 assists, and that's the most points in a playoff game for any Knick. This is a way to bounce back. In game three,
he also had three rebounds.
And three rebounds. He had a block. He was
all over the place.
He was plus 10.
He was doing what he needed to do. Bojan Bogdanović, I talked about how Batum fell on his leg.
Mm-hmm.
Bogdanović would end up being out of the playoffs as a result of that play.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have surgery on his foot. He's going to have surgery on his wrist, which was giving him issues leading into the playoffs. And
but before we even get into like after the game, I want to talk about the fact that there was, because of the injury, only 7 guys played in this game in Philadelphia, and Miles McBride stepped up. He hit some clutch threes. He was big off the bench. Achiuwa, who only had 1 point, he had 7 rebounds and 4 blocks.
Yep.
And he played the entire fourth quarter.
Yep. He had some great defense on Joel.
Yeah, like if you're looking at the stat sheet, you ain't going to see the impact that Precious Achiuwa had, but he was huge in this game. because we needed him to be big because Hartenstein had no fouls in the first half.
Yep.
In the third quarter, he picked up five.
Yep.
So once he sat down, Achiuwa came in, gave them another look. OG was on Embiid.
I don't think Josh Hart actually sat down. I think he got that fifth foul and stayed out there and never picked up a foul again. Just straight, perfect defense without putting his hands on anybody. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Hartenstein had a little bit of trouble with that on Joel Embiid. Couldn't stop himself from fouling Joel Embiid, which was a kind of a theme throughout the series in that, you know, whenever Joel Embiid wanted to take advantage of Hartenstein, he was able to do that. And that was a big reason why Precious Achiuwa got some of the, got the breaks that he did in terms of being able to play, because he was able to do some of the things that Hartenstein was not. He was able to move laterally. He was able to front Joel, keep him from getting the ball, keep him from getting decent shots.
Yeah.
And
it was good that you brought up Josh Hart, because he's another one. Like the same way I said Precious Achiuwa, you look at the stat sheet, you ain't going to see the impact. Josh Hart didn't score a field goal in his game. He was 0 for 7, 0 for 3 from 3. He was missing 4 free throws out of 8, but still, he had 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. One of the blocks came at one of the most crucial moments in the game, so it's like, these Knicks, even if they're not going to have a huge performance offensively, they're still going to impact the game and still impact winning. Jalen Brunson, the first two games, he couldn't knock down any of his shots, and he wasn't consistent at all, but yet they still won those two games because you can count on guys like Josh Hart to win, to make winning plays. You can count on Miles McBride to make winning plays, play intense defense on a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who's been killing us this series. And in Philadelphia, to get another win after you got two wins without Jalen Brunson being able to be one of your main scoring options, this proves that, yeah, we just needed to get Jalen Brunson going. In game 3, Jalen Brunson was getting his shot going, but they didn't win that game in Philly. But game 4, they was able to steal one on the road. And that was huge.
I think another huge moment, it's the last moment. There was a lot. This is a series full of huge moments, and at some point I'm going to rank them all. But in this game, the defensive possession that ended up in a Precious Achiuwa block on Joel Embiid's three-point shot.
That was clutch.
That was at 2 minutes and 54 seconds remaining in the game, with the score at 92-89, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And there's only a three-point lead that could have tied the game up. Next, the Knicks were able to score a few times after that, get it up to 95-89 on the Brunson driving floating jump shot, to put them up 6. So that was just very key as far as this game goes. Knicks defense just did what they needed to do. Precious was great. Everybody was great. Josh Hart was great. Jalen Brunson handled the scoring load as he needs to do on a team without Julius Randle and
Mitchell Robinson.
No Mitch.
Like, that's huge to lose Mitch and Bogdanovich in the middle of a playoff series and you're still able to take one on the road.
Only 7 players for the second half of this game. 8 players playing overall. You have any thoughts on this game? I just kind of wanted to get through this one.
We could get through this one because this was a huge win, but it wasn't like one of those games that was super exciting to watch. The ones that were super exciting to watch come right after. Yep. So let's get into it. Next game, the New York Knicks host the Philadelphia 76ers. They hold a 3-1 lead, and this is the first chance that they get to close a series out at home for the first, decades.
Yep.
I don't remember the exact date. I should have looked that up, but, should be happening. Anyway, the Knicks started this game out, and they didn't match the intensity early, but The Sixers definitely got off to a fast start offensively. Maxey hit some clutch threes to set the tone. But it wasn't like they had a lead for long because the Knicks came right back and closed the lead that they did build within the first quarter. And this game was just a slugfest. Like, Embiid was the only player on Philly who seemed to be a little bit rattled. Mm-hmm. But everyone else came out to play. Tyrese Maxey was hooping out of his mind. And he was putting the team on his back. And Embiid was still getting rebounds and still finding the open teammates for open threes and stuff like that.
Yep.
But this was going to be a tall task to come into the Garden and, like, leave with a win if Embiid isn't playing how he's capable of playing.
I just wanted to make a quick note before you get into this.
Mm-hmm.
In the game before, in the last game, I meant to put it in my notes and I did not. Joel Embiid played the entire second half, I believe, in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 40. I'm actually going to pull it up. That was game four, right? Joel Embiid finished with 3 minutes and 58 seconds. Mm-hmm. This would make the second straight game or the third straight game where he had played over 40 minutes. In the entire regular season, how many 40-minute games do you think Joel Embiid had had?
Two.
No. Only one game had he ever played more than 40 minutes for the Philadelphia 76ers all season. And by game five, Joel Embiid had already played two or three and played a whole second half without any rest.
Yeah, because the on-off numbers for him is insane. Like,
right.
As soon as he comes off the court, the Knicks build a lead. I mean, they either build a lead or they chop down the lead that Philly built. And then Embiid comes in and he has to just take control over the whole game again. But this game, he wasn't able to have that same impact offensively from the beginning. Surprisingly, the hot hand was like Tobias Harris, who hasn't done anything all series long. He's knocking down threes and he's getting shots off. And like, bro, I ain't understand Tobias Harris finally coming alive. But Jalen Brunson still had it going a little bit. He was hitting his shots early. And he was playing every minute of this game up until the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. They took him out for a few minutes for Miles McBride. And I didn't really understand that because of the fact that we've seen Miles McBride able to handle the point guard duties and be able to score effectively even when Jalen Brunson's not on the court. And Precious Achiuwa just last game was able to contribute and be able to stop Embiid. And I didn't understand why there was this only a 7-man rotation, especially now that we got Mitchell Robinson back. But I guess I just answered my own question. Mitchell Robinson came back.
Yep.
He was playing Embiid really well. And the minutes that Mitchell was on the court was when I would see Embiid get throwing a lot of turnovers.
Yep.
He really had to battle for position a lot of the time. And he was struggling. Like, there was even a play where he got called for a foul, an offensive foul, trying to get position with Mitchell Robinson. And he was basically just giving him fits the whole night. Kyle Lowry wasn't able to contribute, and I was expecting him to be like a thorn in our side all series. The fact that he had zero all game had me feeling like we was going to be able to close this game out. But
yeah,
Tyrese Maxey was just balling.
That fourth quarter, do you want to dress down that fourth quarter?
We could get into it. I could skip down to the final plays because it looked like the Knicks were about to run this game away. They built up a 6-point lead with 28 seconds left in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit the group chat. Deuce! He hit a clutch mid-range shot that Brunson assisted on.
Yep.
He's wide open at the free throw line. He knocks down that shot and Philly calls a timeout.
Yep.
We thinking the game is over. Our mom is on a flight. We teasing her because she couldn't watch the game.
That was me.
And immediately after that commercial break, Mitchell Robinson comes up on the screen from Embiid.
Yep.
Tyrese Maxey pump fakes. Mitchell Robinson jumps for the pump fake. And Tyrese Maxey jumps into him, shoots the ball, makes it. Refs call a foul.
A play that...
4-point play.
A play
in front of Larry Johnson.
A play that... Mitchell Robinson usually does not make that mistake, whether it be at the rim, at the 3-point line. And even when he is at the 3-point line, he's usually good about not overcommitting. Mitchell Robinson has been considered one of the best defenders because he finally learned after all these years, you don't need to jump to affect the shot.
And a little more, like, this is what was going through my mind during that shot.
Yep.
It's the same shot that Reggie Miller, I mean, it's the same spot on the court that Reggie Miller hit them two threes at.
Huh. Imagine that.
And then Larry Johnson's in the crowd right next to Carmelo, yep. John Starks, and they hit a four-point play in front of all of them.
If I want to dress it up even more, this was a game. It's in the Garden. It's at home. Everything about this game, the way that it right at that 30-second mark, that 28-second mark, you know, everything about that game just screamed, this was meant for the Knicks to win.
Mm-hmm.
All of the alumni, the Knicks alumni, from Patrick Ewing to Carmelo Anthony, Charles Sprewell, everybody's on the court. You got Clyde already talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to have fun tonight. We're thinking that the Knicks are about to win.
Mm-hmm.
We're at home. The crowd is raucous. Deuce McBride, the one guy on the court who they have to leave alone because they can't leave Brunson alone. They've been killed by Josh Hart. We never can leave Don. Like, all of these guys, you got to leave Deuce McBride. You know, don't give him the three, but give him the foul line jumper. Everything is telling you that the Knicks are destined to win this game. And I'm looking at my FanDuel account with my Knicks in five series bet. And I'm like, yeah, I'm about to cash this motherfucker in. And then what happens, French?
And then the Knicks come down, get fouled. I believe Josh Hart's the one who get fouled.
That is correct. Josh Hart got fouled.
He misses one of his free throws. And if you didn't pass math, don't worry. I'll do it for you. 4-point play. Yep. We had a 6-point lead, dropped to 2. If Josh Hart hits one of these free throws, it's going to take a miracle for Philly to win. But he misses one, so now it's a 3-point lead.
Yeah, if he hits both, it's a 4-point lead. But he only hit one, so it's a 3-point lead. And they would need a second straight 4-point play if he hits both, but he didn't.
So he misses the free throw. What happens? They come down. Tyrese Maxey gets the ball. There's a high screen, and he pulls up from three with Mitchell Robinson guarding him again.
From the logo.
He's at the logo. He's at the logo this time.
Yep.
Mitch jumps. He's scared because he don't want to get another foul. So he's not really, really jumping. He's just trying to put his hands up. And Maxey hits nothing but the net.
He wasn't even that close, really. He wasn't even really
7 feet tall.
He was still very, very much parked by the 3-point line because he's like, oh, he's going to try and go for three. I can, if he's anywhere close to 3-point line, I can affect the shot.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything wrong.
And Maxey was like, seems like a good shot.
I'm hot. I just made my last one.
Seems like a good shot. I'm just going to pull up from here. Nobody's around me. And he throws it up and it goes right in. And
hit nothing but the net.
And at the time, I was like, 9 seconds is a lot of time. The Knicks could still come out of this with a victory.
Oh, I had the opposite. This is for the first time in my life. Well, first time this season where I was like, relax, shorty. I said, yo, this series, huh? I'm like, this series is in jeopardy because they just collapsed at an epic proportion.
You're so
but I'm
emotional.
Like, all right, hold on, let me relax because that's not what this team is about. We got 9 seconds. There's some time. Jalen Brunson's hot. He ain't been missing. I didn't even mention the Embiid steal. Or is that in overtime? Let me stop going ahead. But like, yo, this game was still up for grabs at that point. The Knicks brought the ball down.
Yep.
9 seconds. And
Brunson gets blocked by Batum. You don't need to.
He doesn't get.
He gets blocked. It's a block. He got credited with a block for that. Brunson drives the entire length of the court and gets to the left side of the court, throws up a prayer, Batum blocks it, goes out of bounds, and that's the end of regulation.
It looked like a pass out of bounds.
It was not a pass. It was definitely a shot attempt, and it was definitely a block. And Yeah, and then you go into overtime. And what happens in overtime?
The Knicks actually took an early lead. Like, yep. Brunson hit a pull-up three.
And we're back, baby. We're back. Thinking, we're about to take this joint.
We at home. They gave us their best punch. We had this game won already. We was up six. Yep. They know they got to close this game out. But like I was saying earlier, it was only seven players on the court this whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely, it got to them.
It was just for the second half. But go ahead.
I'm saying there was only seven active players in this game.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the starters, there's three starters that played 50 minutes for this game. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson played 51. Josh Hart played 53. OG played 50.
Mm-hmm.
And they wasn't expecting to go to overtime. It looked like they laid it all out in those four quarters. And in overtime, once we built up, like I just said, Jalen Brunson hit a three. And I believe he had a mid-range shot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up 5 points. And then after that, Tyrese Maxey just came back and was just dogging us in overtime. He got Kelly Oubre open. Kelly Oubre got open for a wide open dunk early in the overtime, which made no sense to me. Like, Embiid was getting some shots. So, like, he ended up finishing this game with a triple-double, even though he started off poor. He had 16 rebounds and 10 assists. Philly just came into the Garden and snatched the heart out the building. And they won this game in overtime and left everyone in the building stunned.
So I will say this. I don't think it was a being tired issue.
The decision-making seemed like it.
Well, this is why I say that. The majority of the second half, and I'm going to actually look at the game charts to see if this validates my belief. So, yeah. So, from the middle of the second quarter to the middle of the fourth quarter, majority of that time, the Knicks had the advantage. They had the lead. And for me, it seemed like they had ample opportunity to take advantage and to extend the lead. The Knicks, neither team in this game ever led by more than 10 points. And the Knicks were actually the team who had the 10 point. Their biggest lead was 10, and the Sixers' biggest lead was 9. And there were plenty of times where I felt like the Knicks could have kept their foot on the gas just by executing.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I felt like that, there would be a turnover. There would be a poor shot. There would be plays where they're just passing the ball around and not really doing anything. And it's like, you guys are letting the Sixers back in the game. Like, apparently y'all want this to be a close game instead of, you know, putting them away at home. You guys need to make it so that the Sixers don't have a chance.
It seemed like that to me, too. It seemed like...
Throughout the game, it's like, yo, all you have to do is execute, mm-hmm. as you have been all season. And you got this 1-5. And then it got it to 6 in the last 30 seconds. And I was like, okay, thank God. They're there. They got there. But even before they got to the 6... Actually...
Wait, hold on. Because I just want to say one thing. Being that we're a little far removed from this game, we do leave out a few details. But at this point in the series, everybody hated Embiid because this is coming right after all the dirty plays that he was doing in the previous games. And we didn't even mention in the game in Philly that Embiid was stepping on Josh Hart's leg on the floor. And I felt like when the Knicks had this lead in the Garden and they were letting Philly come back into it, it kind of felt like, we're not going to play dirty. We just want to show you that we're the better team. And we want you to be on the court as we win this game. I might be overthinking, but it just seemed like a strategy that failed because keeping the game close and let them come back and win the game.
No, I think that thinking was 100% their thinking. But I don't think that's what caused them to lose. It's that they didn't execute the plan.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to beat you without resorting to your dirty tactics. We're going to do what we've been doing all year, and that's executing our schemes, mm-hmm. is by sharing the ball, trusting the pass, and all of that stuff. And at various points, they didn't do that. Taking the open shot, it's like they would do it, and then it'd be like, okay, we're comfortable enough. All right, let's just, you know, we'll do whatever now. It's like, what let's are y'all let doing?
Brunson cook.
Keep like, make sure that you cannot lose this game, right? Mm-hmm. Knock down your free throws. OG Adenobi. Like, Brunson hit a step back jumper. That put the game up 93-88. OG Anunoby gets fouled after a turnover. And at that point, it's like, oh, yeah, the game's over. All he has to do is knock down both of these free throws. He goes one of two. Oubre makes a layup. Then we get the deuce shot that puts it back up to six. Like, okay, now the game's over. What happens after that? The four-point play by Mitchell Robinson. Failure to execute. Okay. You're up two. You just need to hit your free throws again. Josh Hart, one of two. All right, you're up three. All you have to do is make sure that they don't hit a three and you win this game.
Yeah, it was worst case scenario.
Maxie hits a logo three. They don't foul, which is something that was like, I think Deuce McBride was supposed to foul before he got picked. He didn't do the foul. Okay, you have 9 seconds left. All you have to do is do a play. If it doesn't look like you can get a playoff, you can call timeout. I felt like Jalen Brunson took way too long getting up the court. And by the time he shot his shot, it was less than 2 seconds left. You can't get a rebound, put back nothing. They didn't do a timeout. They didn't get a good shot up. And now you're going in overtime. All right, even overtime, you still have 5 minutes to win the game. You go up by five. Oh, God. All right, thank goodness. All right, the end of the fourth quarter, you know what? That was messed up, but we still have a chance to win this game. We're up five. All you have to do is defend and keep putting it in Brunson's hands. And what do? They failed to defend. I think Mitchell Robinson was out there for the beginning of the overtime
and then was
pulled because they were exploiting that Maxie Robinson matchup because Robinson wasn't making the best defensive decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem to matter because what was a 5-point lead, like the Knicks just started hemorrhaging points for the Philadelphia 76ers. They scored 15 points in 3 minutes and change in overtime. And it's like, yo, you guys have been playing good defense all year. You allowed such a large amount of points in 3 minutes and 56 seconds, damn near 4 minutes. That's... You've held them scoreless for 3 minutes. You can't stop them from getting 15. And to add insult to injury, okay, maybe you think you could score with them at the same time. You're up five. Okay, they score, we could score. And then you guys just do Jalen Brunson isolation plays as opposed to the pick and roll plays that you have been succeeding with all series. Just failure to execute from top to bottom. You know, there's multiple different reasons why the Knicks lost this game, 112-106. Very disheartening loss, especially for me. Could have won $1,700 instead.
How did you feel? I was out
$500.
How did you feel in regard to the series at this point? Did you feel like the Knicks would still pull it out?
Much like myself, I feel like the Knicks are very adept at pulling things out.
Pause.
I thought that the Knicks are. I was worried. I'll keep it a buck. I was very worried because now you're going back to Philly. No guarantee that you're going to win over there at home, especially, you know. Knowing, okay, they're going to do something about the Knicks fans being at the crowd. You let it go back to them. They're going to make sure that it's not as loud as it was for the other two games. Okay, now if you don't win, now you have to win at home again. Mm-hmm. And now you have to have that in the back of your head. Okay, the last time we were home, this is what happened. what are we going to do? So did I think that the Knicks were going to win? Yes, but that did not make me feel any more confident. I went to bed feeling sick to my stomach after that game, as I'm sure many Knicks fans did that night. Mm-hmm. It was just very, very difficult for me to get over it. It was hard for me to talk about the next day. Although I forced myself to talk about it. I forced myself to listen about the game. I forced myself to do more research on this game, even though it was such a gut punch. And I still was like, you know what? If the Knicks, then if any team can come out of such a gut-wrenching loss with a victory, it's this team. And that's kind of what I had to hang my hat on.
Mm-hmm. And I asked you that because I had to think about how I was thinking about the game. And after that loss...
You cried yourself to sleep.
Nah, I could have, though. I really could have. I was depressed.
I thought about it.
I was like, yo, there's no way we just lost this game. We lost Boyan.
It felt like we lost
got
the series.
No Randall. Mitch is still kind of hobbling, and yep. Now they got all the momentum because they're going back to Philly where their role players are probably going to play well, where their top dogs are going to be more confident because Tyrese Maxey put the backpack on to give them the win mm-hmm. that should have closed them out for the series. They have the belief that they're the better, more talented team. They have, like, out of the entire playoffs, Tyrese Maxey and Embiid are two of the highest scorers. Like, Jalen Brunson's the highest scorer in the playoffs, and then right behind him is Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey.
Yep.
So I'm like, damn, this isn't looking good. And like you said, the owner was trying to make sure that the Knicks fans couldn't pack the building for game six, so we're not going to have that edge.
Yep.
So I'm just like, damn, I'm going to sleep. I don't want to watch First Take tomorrow. I don't want to watch nothing on YouTube regarding this game. But then I'm just like, how did we lose this game? A game that we had won. And how did we lose the other game?
Mm-hmm.
The first game we lost, Joel Embiid dropped 50.
Yep.
Tyrese Maxey drops 46 in this game.
Yep.
If that's what it takes to beat the Knicks, then why am I feeling this way? I don't really need to be worried. I know the games have all been close, but every game all year for the Knicks, for the most part, has been close games, and they find a way to pull it out. Pause. And the fact that Philly is a talented team, they should be scoring a lot more than what they have been scoring in this series, but they're playing to our pace of the game. The Knicks play a slow-paced game. They never go into the 130s and 140s for the most part. When it comes to the final score, it's always 100, 90s, maybe 110, 112, depending on how the game is going. But if you're playing to our pace, we dictate how the final quarter is going to go. And Jalen Brunson is the best closer in the playoffs right now, in my opinion. So if we're coming down to the wire again in a game six, even if the role players come alive and their two best players come alive, I still feel like we have a chance. But there hasn't been a game where the role players went off for Philly and Embiid went off and Maxey went off because they're not capable of all doing that. And lastly, we didn't even mention the fact that, like, Brunson, Josh Hart, and Dante DiVincenzo are super comfortable playing in this building because they've won championships at Villanova playing in the Wells Fargo Center. So when I'm thinking about all this, I'm like, damn, we still got this series. They had a spark from Tyrese Maxey,
mm-hmm.
got inspired and won a game on the road. Cool. We did that too. So now we just got to even it out and get our lick back in Philly. All these guys who made mistakes, OG Anunoby missing free throws, Josh Hart missing free throws, Mitchell Robinson with the 4-point play, Jalen Brunson with a turnover, and getting blocked by Batum. And he made a lot of mistakes in that overtime that we ain't even address. But we gave him grace because he dropped 40. He had 10 assists. He's the best player on the team. Like, we could give him some grace for that. Going on the road, all these players have something to prove now. They all know the series should be over. And then they know that the reason that it's not over is because they dropped the ball. That's scary to deal with as an opponent. When you know you're supposed to win this game now that you're going back home, all the pressure should be on the road team, but it's really on the home team to do what they're supposed to do. They got to beat this team at home and hope that the role players come alive. And I'm like, all right, Tobias Harris had his good game. He's not going to, you can't depend on him again. Kyle Lowry's getting old. How much can you really depend on him? So before I even go too far, what are your thoughts on everything I just said?
So my I got two responses to what you just said, to the main overarching point that you just made. You questioned, okay, they need 50 from Embiid. They need 40 plus from Maxey. What am I worried about? You should be worried about that. You should be worried about that for sure.
Why?
They got two guys who can do that, who can score 40 plus. Jalen Brunson hasn't scored 50 yet in a playoff series. And there is no second player who has scored 30 points in this series for the New York Knicks. Mm-mm. So that's the reason to worry. Like you have to worry that they have two guys who can take over a game. And if they get any contribution from their secondary players, Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum, Kyle Lowry, Buddy Hield, all of these guys, you wouldn't be surprised if they went off. I don't know if I said Tobias Harris, but any of these guys, they score some points. You're not going to be surprised if they do. And then on top of that, you got two guys who can go for 40. And all you have to combat that is Jalen Brunson. And some of the other guys in the Knicks maybe getting 20 points.
That's
a reason to worry.
It's not a reason to worry because, as you've seen, even with no performance from Jalen Brunson for the most part, the guy stepped up and it's a collective unit as the Knicks win games.
Every game.
It doesn't have to be a 30-point game.
Every game, except for game 3, was a close game at the end. And you felt thankful that the Knicks were able to pull it out despite the fact that he's missing Julius Randle, who would have been that other guy who could go for 30, who could go for 40, who could go for 50. He's the only other guy that on this team that could have done it. Mm-hmm. Unless we're talking about Dante DiVincenzo, who I brought up last week, just bombing away from 3, which they were not allowing. And if they're not allowing Dante DiVincenzo to bomb away from 3, We can't stop Maxey. We couldn't stop Maxey from getting 40, you know, from taking over this game. We couldn't stop Joel Embiid from scoring 50 in the win that they had. Mm-hmm. That's a reason to be worried. Now, just because it hadn't happened yet, they hadn't put it together yet, doesn't mean that, okay, in two games that they couldn't figure it out.
But
we gave them this game, and now you're opening up the possibility for them both to go for 40 and for their guys to their other guys to contribute. And the Knicks have no answer for that.
I think you're missing what I'm saying.
No, I'm not, because I'm about to make the other side of the point, which is in tough games, when it's back against the wall time, both teams are feeling the pressure. I could say the Knicks know what to do there. Okay, they messed up in this game. But coming off of big losses and making sure that you're going to execute and being in there in the tight games, even if you fail to execute perfectly, mm-hmm. doing what you have to do, getting the big rebound, getting the turnovers, doing all that stuff. The Knicks know what to do. 76ers, they don't know nothing about that. Nothing about that. They've had to deal with their main guy being gone for large stretches of seasons, and they'd have to deal with that every year. Maxey couldn't figure it out on his own without Joel Embiid and getting the Sixers to stay in that top 4, top 5 seeding spot. They fell to 7 because Joel Embiid was gone. Now Maxey was great. Don't get me wrong. He's had a coming out party for this series. The Sixers, Jalen Brunson figured it out without Julius Randle, figured it out without OG Anunoby, figured it out without Mitchell Robinson, and got the Knicks to the 2 seed. Knicks know what to do. And that is the point that you're trying to make. Like when it comes to nut cutting time, we have that guy who doesn't need somebody to step up. He ain't going to fade in the fourth quarter. He ain't going to fade in overtime. Nah. Yeah, he made mistakes in this game. He ain't going to make them again in the next game.
That's not my point entirely. My point entirely is the fact that we have more guys that you can depend on down the line. You saying we don't have a secondary option that can guarantee 30?
Right.
I say we have guys that we can guarantee 15, though. And OG Anunoby every game this series has been relied on to score at least 15, play good defense, get rebounds, and he's been doing that for us. Josh Hart has been able to give us 15 at least each game, rebounds. And we can depend on them on a day-to-day basis more than anybody else on Philly outside of their two guys.
Both of those points are untrue.
What do you mean?
In game two, OG had 10.
That's one game.
In multiple games, Josh Hart had less than 5. So there's no guarantee for either one of these guys. There's no guarantee for any of the players on the New York Knicks.
Okay.
And my point was that on top of both of Embiid and Maxey scoring a lot, they don't need 5 guys. We only had 7 rotation players at mm-hmm. this point. They don't need 5 guys to score, you know, 15. They don't. They need about as many as the Knicks would have outside of Jalen Brunson. And you would not be shocked to see it happen. They had Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, Kyle Lowry, Nick Batum, Cam Payne, who has been a thorn in the Knicks' side. Mm-hmm. All of those guys have had major playoff moments in this series.
More so than the 2 guys I just named?
More than Josh Hart and OG Anunoby?
Right.
Scoring-wise?
I'm talking about in general.
I'm talking about...
Are they impacting the game more than these two guys? Maybe scoring, campaign could hit a few threes, but you're not relying on campaign in a 7-game series to do this consistently night after night, like how we've been relying on Josh Hart. Maybe if Josh Hart's not scoring 15 points, he did in the last 3 games.
Right.
Like, and the 2 games that maybe he didn't score 15, I'm pretty sure we won.
Well, I'm going to say this. Scored 4 points in game 3.
Which we won.
And I don't remember.
No, but actually we lost game 3.
Yes, we did lose game 3. So I don't know which game. Whichever game this was, we did win that game. But he only scored 4 points.
Regardless.
It was game 4.
We have guys that can be dependent on more so than Philly does. Because early in the season, you can see that the heart battle was going to be won by the Knicks 9 times out of 10. Maybe there's a game or two where Philly out-rebounding us, but the better rebounding team is the Knicks. And yep. it's not even like
debatable. It's about execution down the stretch and who's
going to close.
Who, you know, yeah. I thought Philadelphia had enough guys who they could count on to close.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks just outperformed them. And the fact that Joel Embiid at the end of games couldn't be counted on to be Joel Embiid definitely was a point in the Knicks' favor. But the way Tyrese Maxey was playing, on some of those nights, he was canceling out Jalen Brunson. And on this night, he canceled out Jalen Brunson. All you need is for that to happen in a close game, in a game 6, in a game 7. Like, this is not a... Like, the things that you're saying, I agree with, but it's also not a given. The Knicks could have definitely lost this series. I don't know if you try to disagree with that or not.
Why are you jumping ahead? We ain't talk about game 6.
I'm just saying, the Knicks definitely could have lost the series by now, by game 5. They could have. Right? They could have.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Could have. They could have. Anyway, let's get into
game 6. They
could have got swept, too. They could have lost in 5.
If we're doing the cut battle.
They should have lost in 5, like I bet, but whatever. They didn't want me to have money that night. Game 6.
The Heat could have swept Boston.
No, they couldn't have. There was never any reality where that was going to happen. Game 6, Thursday, May 2nd, 2024 at 9 o'clock, a time frame that every fan in NBA existence was like, why the F are we watching this game at 9 o'clock at night on a Thursday night? I can understand if it was a Friday. Thursday at 9 o'clock for 2 Eastern Conference teams? You trying to keep us up till 12? Come on, NBA. What are y'all doing?
Well, we had to see the outcome of the Indiana Pacers.
Nobody gave.
Anyway, NBA, no, that definitely impacted that game. Stop it. If we know that Indiana's going to be, because they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, because they beat Milwaukee, they moved on to the second round and they're going to have time to rest. So we know that because that game was happening, I understand the thinking for the NBA. They want everyone to watch both games and know what's going to happen in the second round and who's going to face who.
If you switched the times, does it change anything?
What do you mean?
If the Knicks went first and the Pacers went second, does it change anything?
I thought you were just talking about the fact that the Eastern Conference team is playing at 9.
This was the most entertaining series out of the whole group.
Yeah, save the best for last.
People would have been like, "Yeah, we can go to sleep on this," because people probably didn't even put on that game because everybody assumed the Pacers were going to win anyway. Anyway, May 2nd, 2024, 9 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center for the first time in the entire series, the Knicks take offensive command strongly in the first quarter.
Went up 21, 22.
22 points before Philadelphia said, we ain't gonna take this line down. And once again, that feeling from the game before came back. You take advantage, take over, put this away. You're up 22. You've been up. You've never lost a game all season, being up 20. Never. It hasn't happened. The Knicks are the only team in the NBA to go up to win every game where they've been up 20. And you blow it. You blow it by halftime. So. Not even by the end of the game. I understand, okay, second half, all right, they starting to put pressure on. Okay, the pressure's on now. All right, now they back.
You thinking about this as a Knicks fan?
No, I'm watching what we've seen all year and then watching, like, once again, you've shown that you can win this game. And the execution part just kind of goes away for no reason. It's not that the field, like, we've seen teams try to fight back, and the Knicks just say, but we're already up 20, so whatever you're doing, maybe you'll cut into it 5 points, 7 points. All right, once you get tired, we're going to bring it back up.
It's the playoffs.
The Knicks never did that.
It's the playoffs. Give Philly credit. You can't just make it seem like the Knicks were handing it to them. Philly was playing great defense.
I agree.
It's a closeout game at home. They're going to play with some intensity. You know they're going to go on a run. When they went up 20... Yes. I knew that they was going to lose the lead, because how often does a 20-point lead stay a 20-point lead?
I wasn't expecting the 20-point lead to stay.
Okay.
I was expecting a lead to stay, or at the very least, for the Sixers to never take a lead.
They're playing with desperation.
None of that happened.
They're desperate.
By halftime, the Philadelphia 76ers were up.
They desperate.
They went up by three at halftime after being down 22 in the first quarter.
That didn't shock me.
I'm not saying it shocked me. I'm not saying that at all. You're right. It's the playoffs. You're right. You play harder. It's desperation time. You put your all into it or whatever.
Season on the line.
After the last game, there's no reason the Knicks should be letting up, is my point.
I could tell you, the point that you're proving, I can coincide. Not coincide. You know what I'm trying to say. What I agree with what your point is, I didn't understand the whole Buddy Hield aspect of this, because Nick Nurse, championship level coach.
Yeah.
Been in the playoffs time after time. Did not play Buddy Hield last game. He put him in this game, and you know what you want from Buddy Hield, and the Knicks did not make that. Didn't make that connection that you know what he's here for. He didn't score all series outside of 2 points.
But you're making my point.
No, I'm saying this is the part of your point that I agree with. This part of the point, I mean, the execution part.
Yeah.
That's the only part where I feel like that holds up, because Buddy Hield being wide open time after time because of double teams is the only boneheaded plays that the Knicks were making. Outside of that, the Philadelphia 76ers were playing incredible defense, forcing turnovers, and on the defensive side, the Knicks were just doing dumb shit with the double teams and leaving Buddy Hield open. But after that, That was a small stretch of the game. After that happened, the Knicks went back to playing how they were playing. They lost their lead, but Philly built up a lead, and they lost that lead too. And Brunson was balling throughout the entirety of all of this. Like, he was still scoring. He was still getting other guys involved. Isaiah Hartenstein couldn't stop Embiid, but he was scoring. He hit a few floaters at key moments in this game. I didn't mean to interrupt you halfway through it, but
you
I'm just saying, like,
didn't mean to interrupt me.
I'm just saying that I didn't feel like it was the same as the game before. The game Knicks before was a lot of boneheaded decisions all quarter, around.
The Knicks in the first quarter shot 46% from the field and allowed Philadelphia to shoot 33% from the field. At the end of the quarter, they were up 20, excuse me, let me make sure that I'm saying the right thing, 36 to 22, right? Not 20 plus points, but still 14-point lead. In the second quarter, the Knicks shot 25% to the Philadelphia 76ers, 50%.
Great defense.
With Buddy Hield shooting 71%. Nicholas Batum hit going 1-for-2. Joel Embiid going 2-for-4. Kelly Oubre going 2-for-4. The majority of their offense was Buddy Hield. And he shot 71% on mostly open shots. 17 points in the second quarter alone.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, he scored more points than the entire New York Knicks team in that second quarter.
Yeah. He was hitting a bunch of threes.
And that, anyway, we're probably not.
That's what I'm telling you. Outside of the Buddy Hield, I didn't see where there's a huge collapse like it was in the game before. That's what I'm saying. That's the only connection that I'm making. But go ahead.
The Knicks had 3 assists in the second quarter. They had 8 assists in the first quarter. And that goes to part of my point. And the execution of their, it wasn't just the defense, the execution of their offense led to, like, and it wasn't just Philly. Philly was doing some of the same things that they've been doing the entire series. Yes, Philly has played good defense. But also, the Knicks have been able to score despite their good defense by making better plays offensively. Yeah. And the second quarter, it seemed like they had no interest in doing that.
Yeah, just because they've done it doesn't mean that you got to expect that for everything, every moment moving forward.
I'm not expecting for every moment, but it's not. And in every moment doesn't mean that for an entire quarter you shit the bed, which is exactly what the New York Knicks did.
And what happened after that?
The third quarter leaves New York Knicks fans completely stumped as Philadelphia takes a 10-point lead out of halftime. So now they went from down 22 to up 10.
Yep. Takes a lot. Takes a lot out of you. You had to fight back, build the lead, and now you got to protect that lead.
Well, at the 10-point lead, Jalen Brunson decided, all right, it's time to put this team on my back.
Like, let me see those banners up there again.
Yeah, I did put that in this building.
Right after the 10-point lead,
uh-huh,
we saw Jalen Brunson assist to Dante DiVincenzo.
Wow.
64-71.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson assist to Isaiah Hartenstein floater. 66-71. Mm-hmm. That has now turned it into a 5-point game. Sixers score. Brunson draws a foul on Maxey, hits his free throws, and then does another assist to Isaiah Hartenstein for another floater to make it a 3-point game, 70-73. We back, baby.
We bike.
Everything that happened in the second quarter and to start the third quarter, it's all gone now. Now it's anybody's game again. Philly fights back, and then we bring in Big Body Mitch and says, yo, go handle Joel Embiid light work. And then simultaneously, Jalen Brunson decides, all right, it's time to finish the move. Embiid gets frustrated, gets an offensive foul on Mitch, who fronts him and prevents him from getting the ball. We have Jalen Brunson. So how many assists did I say in the third quarter, excuse me? 1, 2, 3. We have another assist in the third quarter to OG, make it 74-77. On a finger roll from Jalen Brunson, 76-80. He baits Nick Batum into a foul, gets him behind him, and then pulls up and hits Batum in the face with his head. That makes it 78-80. That's a 2-point game. They score. And then he does an assist to Dante DiVincenzo for a dunk to make it 80-83.
Mm-hmm.
And just keeps the Knicks right in there going into the fourth quarter. And now the real game changer. OG Anunoby delivers a perfect poster dunk on Joel Embiid. Man, I hopped out of whatever I was sitting on at that point. I was like, oh boy, let's go OG. This is probably the second poster dunk he's had, or the second or third impressive dunk that he's had in this entire series.
On Embiid.
Jalen Brunson does a pull up and one on Kelly Oubre, but misses the free throw. Knicks, y'all got to do something about these free throws. Like, I don't know what y'all doing. Y'all like, maybe y'all like losing games because you miss your free throws, but you need to stop. But the most important play of the game, Josh Hart, open. Jalen Brunson gets his 12th assist to Josh Hart, who pulls up from three and knocks down the jumper to put the Knicks up for three. And this is the end of the game. This is with about a minute left in the game.
Yeah, they played the foul game after this.
Yeah, the Knicks don't allow the previous game to happen again. Oh, we know what to do when we up three this time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to foul you so that you can't just get up a three and tie it up. And then we're going to play the free throw game. We're going to kill them some clock. And they hit their foul shots. Jalen Brunson hit his foul shots. Knicks win 118-115. Take the series 4-2.
Embiid fouled out, too.
Embiid fouls out on a Dante DiVincenzo foul, mm-hmm. who he hit his free throws at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think at the end of the day, it didn't matter whether Embiid was in there or not. Maybe it would have been helpful to have him out there to try and shoot a three instead of having Buddy Hield at the end to shoot the three. I personally don't think it would have made a difference. The Knicks would have fouled, or they would have altered the shot enough to where it didn't matter. You would have had Mitch on him, and Joel Embiid was not shooting on Mitch.
No, I completely disagree with you, because the reason Maxey got up open was because of a screen from Joel Embiid at the Garden.
This is true.
Both of those threes came off of Embiid screens, and they both
at that point can in time, hit the three. There was more than 10 seconds left in the game. At this point in the game, there was no possible way for Maxey to do what he did in the game before. The time just wasn't there.
Especially, I still feel like it was enough time. Because if he's going downhill and runs into a screen from Embiid, he's still going to hit from the logo.
The reason why it wasn't enough time was because Deuce McBride was clearly instructed to foul.
Mm.
Right? It was clear. Everybody knew, all right, if you can't get the steal, foul. You saw it. They weren't going to allow Maxey to do that. They allowed Buddy Hield to take his shot. But Buddy Hield was, the reason Buddy Hield missed was because, what? He was expecting them to foul.
Yeah.
So, again,
Embiid could have got a better look. So, I mean, Hield could have got a better look if Embiid was on the court, too.
Right. I wouldn't have surprised me if Mitch was on the court. I don't think Mitch was on the court. I think Hartenstein was on the court. Either way, it wouldn't have been an easy shot for Joel Embiid to turn around and shoot the three, mm-hmm. with how the Knicks were defending, with the time left on the clock. And, yeah, round one, done. Done.
D-U-N. Done.
Knicks win.
You don't even understand that reference.
I do. Because I watched the movie.
Oh, all right.
What
were your thoughts after this
several
win?
Several times, actually.
How was you feeling?
What was my thought? My thought was they should have won in five already. I was upset. But really, they should have won in five.
All right. But this is a game six on the road. How do you feel about this win?
I was happy, but I was still mad about game five. I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, yes, all right, let's go. But it would have felt better if they won it in game five. I was ready to celebrate. I was ready to drink and all that stuff. And after this, it was kind of like, I'm glad we made it to the second round.
I'm happy we made it healthy. That's all I care.
How do you figure?
I'm saying we made it without, like, the only difference between game five and game six was an extra game. Nobody got dropped in game six where it was like, I wish we would have closed it out in five. Like, so it doesn't make a difference
to me.
You're
glad we made it out of game six healthy.
Yeah. You know? If we would have went to game seven, I'd have been mad.
We didn't make it out the series healthy. So, yeah. Look, how I feel about the series, I always felt that the Knicks were going to win. Obviously, I bet on them to win in five.
Mm-hmm.
They won in six. They did what they were supposed to do. I knew that Joel Embiid's health factor was going to play a big role in the series. I did not expect Maxey to show up as well as he did, but a lot of Maxey's best games come as a result of his interaction with Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid played every game. He played 40 minutes. He averaged 40 minutes, I believe, in this series, over 40 minutes in this series, which is a load more than he's ever had to do. I would have never expected him to play that many minutes, but look at the stats. The Sixers needed him on the court because they were losing those minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy to see that a lot of the times a Knicks victory was guaranteed by winning the Miles McBride minutes. That was not something that I was anticipating coming into the game, but he played an important role. Every player who played in this series actually played an important role, from Deuce McBride to Josh Hart to OG Anunoby to Precious Achiuwa, even Boyan, who he went out in game four. Even Boyan had big moments in this series, and he's going to be done for the season. He's going to be done for the playoffs. And now we have to figure out, how we're going to run seven or eight you know, moving forward.
Hopefully we see Shake Milton next series.
We won't. We won't see Alec Burks. Some of y'all over here talking about Alec Burks. He's going to be ready. You're not going to see Alec Burks in the playoffs. I promise you.
Stop talking with so much conviction. You've been proven wrong about Miles McBride, Precious Achiuwa.
I wasn't proven wrong.
Yes,
about
you
Miles
was.
McBride.
You said he wasn't going to play. You said we needed to make another trade, and then Miles McBride ain't going to come off the bench. You don't remember that?
I didn't say he's not going to come off the bench. I was saying last season we lost the minutes, the Deuce McBride minutes, in lieu of Jalen Brunson, and we need to make a trade in order to ensure that that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. We didn't make that trade. But after we didn't make that trade, I was impressed with what I saw with Deuce McBride.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed.
Me
Deuce
too.
McBride made, and we saw it in real time, Deuce McBride made the adjustments to his game to where I was confident in saying, you know what? Let's see what happens.
Yeah, just because you change your mind don't mean you ain't say it.
I didn't say that we're not going to see Deuce McBride. I said that we need to make a try.
I'm going to clip it.
Okay, we'll clip it. We need to make a trade because we need somebody to handle that time when Jalen Brunson is off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And it turned out to be Deuce McBride in a complete 180 to what he did last season. I felt we needed a better point guard than Deuce McBride. And I don't 100% disagree with that notion even still. Because we've seen it in this series. There were points where Deuce McBride wasn't able to handle the offensive load. And what we've also saw in the series that there were points in time where Deuce McBride was just handled the load just fine, especially in game one and one other game. Not game two. He didn't score that much. But
he still hit a clutch. Yeah. Few shots in game two. Like he still had an impact in every game.
He had
game
a clutch shot in game five. Yep. You know, like Deuce McBride has been the biggest surprise and the best surprise out of this whole thing, because if he had a relapse to last series against Miami Heat, nobody would have been surprised. Everybody would have been disappointed based on some of the improvements he's made as far as dribbling, as far as dribbling through contact, as far as getting to the rim. And as far as his three-point shooting and pull-up shooting. But everything he did in season, he did in the playoffs. So, like, I was ready, to be honest with you, I was ready to start him over Dante DiVincenzo before this last game. I was like, yo, if Dante don't show up.
Don't do that to Dante, man.
Bro, are you going to try and tell me that Dante had a good series?
He hit the biggest shot in the series.
Did he have a good series?
He's been a starter all year. Let's not make adjustments and panic over. Like, we still winning the series. I get what you're saying, but
a good series.
No.
Thank you.
That doesn't mean that you got to change up the starting five, though.
But I remember what I said in the last episode of the Knicks Take podcast. I said, we need to see Dante DiVincenzo show up. We need him to shoot.
He was
shooting over 10 threes every game going into the playoffs. He wasn't able to do that at any point in this series. Even in the last game when he was shooting well,
mm-hmm.
he didn't shoot 10 threes in this game.
Shot nine.
But he shot extremely well. He made his, he put his footprint on the game. And let's head on to Indiana, unless you have something else to say about Philly.
Nah, Philly gave us a really great series. Much better than I thought that they were capable of giving after I saw the first two games. They came out with intensity for every game after game two. Tobias Harris, it was a 6-on-5. He was a Knick all series, and I appreciate him for that outside of that one game. But I'm just impressed by Tyrese Maxey. Yo, I had no idea he was that good. Maybe I should have been paying more attention to the Tyrese Maxey this year, but He's gonna be a dog for a lot of years to come. He didn't have a great game six, but even with him having a bad game, you still looking at him with the ball in that fourth quarter, and you just like, damn, I hope he don't come alive right now because he's capable of just going crazy.
I still would like to see him do it without Joel Embiid on the court.
Yeah.
But this was definitely his coming out party.
Yeah, this is definitely his coming out party, and I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of career he's going to have moving forward. Kelly Oubre surprised me a lot. I didn't realize he was that good of a defender. And he's just always in the right spot at the right time for Philly. He got a lot of wide open dunks. I gained respect for them two players. I used to love Paul Reed, and now I'm like, why did I want him on the Knicks? Campaign. I don't care about Philly. I'm just looking forward to this next series. You're doing a lot of the Knicks.
Philly Glazers.
I can't show respect. Damn. It was a great series. We're gonna make it seem like we were just the better team by far and we should have beat them in five. Like, that's not how I view it. I feel like Philly played two stars, legit stars, and we only had one. And that just goes to show how good the Knicks are and how good the Knicks play together and how much of a team they are and how much of a difference that they have in coaching. Like, even though Nick Nurse won a championship before and he's been to the finals, he's been in the playoffs year after year after year after year after year, Tom Thibodeau still outcoached him with a less talented roster.
Yep, he did.
And I feel like that goes to show what kind of team that this is. And at the end of the regular season, the Knicks didn't duck whoever they were going to face. They went for the 50 wins, and they showed in this series why they have no reason to duck anybody. Philly's a talented team. I respect them more after this series, and I'm looking forward to this next one.
All right. So, childish. So let's get into the next one then.
Next game for the New York Knicks is going to start on Monday. Thankfully, it's not going to be today because the series is over.
The next series.
So the next series is starting from Monday. The Knicks are going to host the Indiana Pacers at MSG for game one and two.
Okay. How do you feel about this matchup overall?
Indiana, they're not a great rebounding team. They're young. This is their first postseason together. I like Miles Turner, but I don't think he's a match for Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein. I like Tyrese Halliburton. He's one of the best point guards in the NBA, but Jalen Brunson clears him, and it's not even close to me.
You don't like that matchup?
Tyrese versus Jalen?
I like that matchup.
Was that another reference to Kendrick? I like Halliburton, but I don't know if he's ready for what he's going to see in the second round because the Milwaukee Bucks, who Indiana faced in the first round, the biggest issue that Milwaukee had was they didn't have great perimeter defense. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a former MVP, the best player on the team, he didn't play the entire series. So they've been in pillow fights in the first round, and now they're gearing up to face against the best team in the East outside of Boston, who's the best defensive team, who has the best closer. I'm predicting a sweep. What are your thoughts on this series?
Damn, you went past games one and two.
Yeah, right, I ain't talking about just games anymore. With Indiana, that's a sweep.
All right,
Let's talk about it.
So I agree with most of your assessments on the matchup. My thing with the Pacers, I've said it all year, is that the Pacers do not defend well enough, and they lean heavily on the offensive end. They do not defend. They do not defensive rebound well, which was a big problem for the Philadelphia 76ers. I think that they are less equipped than the Philadelphia 76ers to rebound. Remember, there was a couple games where the 76ers actually won the rebound battle. I think Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam can do well enough to offset some of the smaller bodies from rebounding the ball, but they don't have, outside of that, they don't have the rebounders to really match up with the Knicks. If the Knicks can slow them down by rebounding, offensive rebounding, by hitting their shots, by taking advantage of their poor defense, I think they match up much better with the Indiana Pacers than the Milwaukee Bucks do. The Milwaukee Bucks have all season had problems with guards, with scoring guards, have had problems with rebounding, have had problems with fast breaks. And the Knicks don't have those issues.
Those are strengths for the Knicks.
Right. So when it comes to Halley, they could put Josh Hart on him. They could put OG on him. We have answers for him.
Yeah. He's not as fast as Maxi. He ain't running past OG.
Yeah. And I don't think that the Knicks have to really worry about doubling anybody. And if they lose this series because of double teams, then we have to take a look at Tom Thibodeau. But I don't think he's going to make that mistake. I don't share your enthusiasm. Games one and two will be at home, Madison Square Garden. Monday, May 6th is game one, 7:30. Game two is at May 8th, Wednesday, 8 p.m. I have the Knicks winning those two games. Games three and four will be away at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Friday, May 10th. And Sunday, May 12th, the May 10th game will be at 7 o'clock. I feel like the Knicks will win that game and they will lose the Mother's Day game, May 12th. That will happen at 3:30. And we will go to a game five where I will make a prediction next week on if it gets that far. We actually probably will be recording before the game four. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. And yeah, that's what I got. You got anything left, French?
Man, I wish I had the wristband still from that Bulls game because I would just be flaunting it right now. I'd feel real confident about the fact that I won't have to tear it off anytime soon. But with no further ado, we'd like to bid you adieu. And thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace, y'all. The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Bro, wait, boo, I can't lose. Nah, I can't lose.